Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, happy Thursday, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And today we're going to be talking about letting things be. If you would like to call in and offer a question or a comment, those in the LA area can call in at 424-258-9337. And for everyone else, including here in the beautiful, but supposedly we're getting rain this weekend, San Jose Bay Area, you can call in toll-free, 877-697-9725. We will also have the chat room open where producer Kina will be hanging out. So you can log in there, say hi, just listen in. Or if you have a question or comment, you can go ahead and send it through and she will make sure I find out about it. And normally after the show, I go into the chat room. I'm just letting you all know that today I won't be able to due to a scheduling conflict. So if there is something that you wanted to bring up, let me know. So, and before I continue, for my friend in D.C., I hope everything is working out wonderfully, and let me know how you're doing. And we lead into today's topic about letting it be. There's a comedian who is really funny. His name is Mike Birbiglia, and he has this show, and it's called What I Should Have Said Was Nothing. And it is interesting because most people don't consider saying nothing a tremendously powerful form of communication. But it is. Sometimes the most difficult part of communicating with someone, especially someone we're in a relationship with, is not only knowing how to use your words, but when not to. So today we're going to be looking at how we can support, nurture, encourage, and even guide without saying much at all. And this really plays a huge role when somebody is going through something or they're in a particular emotional, energetic, whatever space. And especially if it's someone we care for, we don't want them to be in that space. So we want to try to encourage them to move through it, move out of it, to take on a happier outlook or just consider things in a broader way. And while each and every one of those things is a wonderful, valid thing to desire for someone, is it the right thing to put in at that moment? And I know that everybody out here has been either on one of either side of this issue. Either you're someone who is going through something, you really just kind of want to express yourself, and then comes the flood of cheerleading, or, you know, by cheerleading I mean, you know, the, you know, you can do it, don't worry, you're great, you're wonderful, which is all great. And is it really what that person needed in that moment? Maybe they just needed to hold that space. Or you are the person who wants desperately, you know, you're hearing somebody express something, it's really hard for you to hear because maybe they're in a really tough spot and they're not feeling so good. And you want to offer something encouraging. You want to help them see that things are better than they look in that moment. So when faced with being on either side of that, the first thing that I would encourage would be to just take a moment and match that person's energy, to meet them where they are. and to just be with them. Look at what their body language is doing. Look at how they're being. Really listen to what they're saying. Because if you're thinking about what it is that you want to respond with as soon as there's a gap in the conversation, you're not fully listening. So really just listen to what they're saying, both verbally and non-verbally. And they may just throw something out and just be with it. You could either, you know, not respond, or you can say, wow, or, you know, man, that's really tough. By saying that, what that does is it encourages them to continue speaking. And if the idea is that, you know, you'd like them to open up to you, often the less you say, the more they're willing to. You know, maybe you just go, wow, and then say nothing. And then you let them go into, and usually people, if they've brought something up, it's like, wow, you know, it really is tough. Or if you, you know, just say, you know, wow, that sounds like a really hard thing. Yeah, man, you know, it's really difficult. And then they will open up. If somebody throws out something and it's immediately met with, well, you know, I was in that exact same situation and I'm going to, you know, and, you know, you can learn from what I went through, and you really need to kind of throw that off because it really, yeah, and all those things that come out, the encouraging things, show that right in that moment, the first thing that happened was not seeing where the other person was, not really connecting with them. And often when I speak to people and, you know, they're just kind of expressing themselves, I may go quite some time and maybe I'll just nod. Maybe I'll maintain eye contact with them because that tells them I'm totally present with them. If I'm not talking, then I'm hearing. And, you know, there's that old statement about, you know, there's a reason we've got two ears and one mouth, is that we're supposed to listen twice as much as we talk. And just by letting the person go and then wait for that nice long gap and maybe just, you know, say, how are you doing? Oh, well, you know, I'm really not doing good with this. Again, not offering solutions, not offering anything, but just being with them, being present with them. And being on the other side of that, when somebody is there and you let something out, maybe it's something you've been carrying for a while and it just a piece of it comes out, look at their nonverbal communication. Do they immediately jump out and tell you, you know, it's like, man, you know, I really don't think that I can go on. You know, if you say something like that, if somebody immediately is like, no, you know, everything's going to be fine, everything's good, you're going to be great, you know, we'll fix this, then understand that they mean well. They care about you. And they haven't taken that moment to really see where you're at, to see if you want communication on that or if you merely want to express. So in that case, if it's a person who just goes straight into trying to fix it for you, you can say, you know what, I really appreciate, you know, you wanting to help me, but can I just kind of get it out a little bit first? I kind of need a sounding board. Can I just express myself, and then if I feel like I want to speak afterwards, it, you know, that's what I'd like to do. But for now, I just really kind of need you to hold this space for me while I express this. So it's important when either you're, it doesn't matter which side you're on, the first thing you do in both cases is see where the other person is at, to see what part of the conversation is going to be taking place, whether a verbal, a nonverbal. Is it merely that they want to express? And when you're working with somebody who's kind of letting some stuff out, just staying in it, present with them, keeping that eye contact. I cannot stress how important it is to really let that person know that you are there with them, for them. And being on the receiving end, there is nothing so wonderful, when, especially when you've shared something hard, than to look at that person and know that they are totally focused on what you're saying, that all they're doing in that moment is listening to you, and that you are the most important person in that moment to them. So, you know, we do want to fix. We do want to help. And that brings up an interesting thing, is that often people will say, and, you know, there have been times when I'll say, you know what, I just kind of need to express this right now. And when the flood of advice or help offer or whatever comes in, you know, it's like, no, that's not what I want. You know, I just need you to do. Well, all I want is for you to be happy. All I want is to help. And understand that as soon as you say I and want in a sentence, it doesn't matter what else goes with it. You've made it about you and not about what that person necessarily needs. And yes, this can be tremendously tricky, especially in our close relationships, because there is nobody we want to fix more than those close to us. And sometimes it is that they're bringing it out because they want to have somebody, you know, to talk to and to have an exchange about. And knowing what it is that they're looking for in that communication really expresses the depth of the relationship you have and the amount of mutual respect. Sometimes, especially with our kids, I have two sons, they're both in their 20s now, and sometimes when they were growing up, it was really, really hard not to want to fix, because when they're little, they come in, they've got a scraped knee, boom, you fix it. Put on a Band-Aid, give them a kiss, they're all right. When they come home and their heart's broken by, you know, the little girl or boy in, you know, that they had a huge crush on in fifth or sixth grade, and they come home and you give them a hug and, you know, well, it's going to be okay, sweetie, it's all right. And then you just be there with them on it and, you know, kind of help them through it. We spend a lifetime of fixing as parents. And then a really interesting thing happens when suddenly they don't want us to fix. They don't want us to come in. The relationship paradigm changes to, I just want to be heard. So as my sons were in their late teens, we had a discussion. And I said, okay, I am no longer management. I'm a consultant. So if you want to talk to me about something that is bothering you, I will sit, I will give you my full attention, I will focus on you, and when you're done speaking, I will tell you something like, well, good luck with that, and I know you can handle it, and that's it. And I told them if they wanted my opinion, then they were free to ask for it, but I would not give it unless it was asked for. And it was interesting because one of my sons shortly after that came and told me about something, and I sat and I focused on him and I listened, because their big complaint, all of this came about was because they complained that I always tried to fix things. So I sat there and I listened to him, and he went through the whole thing, and I said, okay. And he said, so? And I said, well, good luck with that, and I know you can handle it. And he looked at me and said, what, that's it? I said, well, that's what you wanted. And he goes, well, I mean, I got nothing here, you know. I said, are you asking for my advice? And he said, yes. I said, okay, if I were you, these are the things I would look at. But you can choose to do whatever it is you want, and I'm sure that it'll work out. It's just, that's my feeling on it. And mainly by creating that, which, believe me, is heartbreakingly hard, especially with your children, it changes everything so that they realize that they can be empowered, that I can be able to trust them to just express what they need to express and not dig, not go into it, not want an explanation, not want to fix them. Often, we learn the most from the hardest things that we've had to deal with. And it's important to go through those hard things, because if we don't go through the hard stuff, we don't know we can go through the hard stuff. We never know how much we can manage and survive until we have to face it. And often, if you're too quick in trying to take away the stress, to take away the anxiety, and to resolve the problem for somebody else or to help them with it, if we're too quick to do that, we take away the opportunity that they have to grow and to learn, or maybe to just work through what they need to work through and come out the other side. Often when I speak to people who are dealing with grief, in whatever way, there are the five stages of grief that we've all been told. There's denial, there's anger, there's bargaining, there's depression, and then there's acceptance. Now, if somebody is in anger or even depression, if we stop the process there, if we cut it off so that they feel better but they don't have a chance to go all the way through, if somebody does not reach acceptance on their own, if they cannot reach peace and balance on their own, then they don't quite have it. And there's a theory that anytime there's something for us to learn from, the universe is going to keep giving it to us until we learn it. So keeping in mind our relationships, especially our loving relationships, sometimes the best thing you can say is truly nothing. Sometimes merely holding a space with somebody, sitting next to them. There have been times when I've had people come into my office and they're obviously upset and there's obviously a whole bunch of stuff going on. And they just sit down and they cry. And maybe I sit next to them, maybe I give them a hug while they cry. I don't say a single word. I don't tell them it's going to be better. I don't tell them it's going to be okay, because I don't know it's going to be okay. They have to figure out it's going to be okay. And I hold that space for them, because sometimes all you need to do is get it out. And then when they finish, sometimes they don't say anything. It's like, okay. I said, okay, you know, ready to go ahead and do some work? Yeah, I'm okay. And maybe they're not ready to say what it is they need. And they are able to feel free to do that. And yes, this is something that it takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of work. And sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's not. When we are empathic, and especially for those people who are very empathic and haven't figured out how to turn it off yet, empaths can only be as happy as the least happy person in the room when it's under control. And part of wanting others to feel better is because that way we can feel better. So there's that kind of survival piece that kicks in. So when we look at the idea of just doing nothing, of letting someone go through what they need to go through, think of it as sort of a detox type of thing. If somebody's got something in their system and they're having to get rid of it and they're having to throw it off and in some cases throw it up and just go through the dark and stinky, swampy bits, yeah, it's really hard to sit by and just let the person go through it, especially if it's someone you care about. And sometimes that's the most important thing and the greatest gift we can give to somebody, is just by allowing them to be, by saying, wow, wow, that's hard. And then letting them run with it. Because sometimes just saying, you know, even if you say, I'm so sorry, and the person looks at you and just bursts into tears, just let them. The body cries the tears that the eyes don't. So crying is healthy. Crying is tremendously healthy. And even when we feel like if we start crying, we will never stop, we always stop. We always run out of the energy. It's like a muscle. A muscle can only contract for so long before ultimately it fatigues. And then once it fatigues, it can't contract until it's experienced recovery. That's, you know, has to do with the amount of oxygen that's required to cause a muscle to go into spasm and all kinds of doctor stuff. But the idea is that if you're holding on to something really, really tight, after a certain point, your body will not allow you to hold it. It'll say, hey, I need to take a break. And usually that's when we release. And that's when having somebody there who can just hold that space for us. And what I mean by holding space is it's almost like picturing you're creating this little bubble for them. And they're in it. They're doing what they need to do. They're dealing with what they need to deal with, either by crying or yelling into a pillow or punching the couch or whatever. Whatever they need to do. And simply by being there, being totally present with them, it allows them to go through what they need to go through. Because there are times when we all need to go through what we need to go through. And when you are in that place of being able to be there for someone, and also because a part of that silence and a part of that just being present with them allows them the freedom to be who and what they want to be. There's nothing to make them wrong. There's nothing to say. It's like, oh, well, you're saying this and you're wrong. Basically, it's like saying you're wrong to feel this way. No, you shouldn't feel bad about this. No, you're not going to be this. No, you're... You know, it kind of devalues where they are in that moment. And where they are is a very important place for them to be. It's that place of realization. Maybe it's sort of like, you know, if you prevent somebody who is, say, an alcoholic or is going through something else, they always say you've got to hit bottom. And once you hit bottom, you can start moving yourself back up again. How are people going to grow if we're not letting them hit bottom? And it is tough. It is so hard to let somebody go through that, even knowing that it's really what's the right thing for them. Even knowing that, you know what, this person is going to be a stronger person for being able to just let it go, let it out, and then figure it out. Maybe they just need to cry it out so they can think clearly. You know, we get so emotional, and then it kind of bottles up. We have to let it out, and then we could sit and we can think clearly once all that energy is kind of leveled off. To allow somebody to do that and let them go through the entire cycle of what it is they need to go to reach balance. Sometimes that pendulum's got to really swing both ways before it reaches that point where it's right in the middle. And when you are on the receiving end of that, you really need to be able to say, you know what, I just need you to hear me right now. I just need to put this out there. And I feel like I need to talk about it out loud. And, you know, sometimes people say some deeply personal things and maybe even something alarming. In that moment, even if somebody says something alarming, take a breath. Right in that moment, it's not a problem. Right in that moment, it's safe. I mean, you know, short of that, you know, they just did something to seriously damage themselves or whatever. You know, as long as it's not an immediate life-threatening event or something that's going on, you've got enough time to take a breath and just let them continue to speak. Because the less you speak, the more they're going to speak. And there's an old saying in sales that when you put the proposal out there and you wait, and whoever speaks first loses. You have to let that happen. You have to be patient enough to just let it go. And, you know, just every once in a while, okay, yeah, wow. One-word answers can be great. But totally focus on, you know, don't just give the impression that you're focusing on what they're saying. Really take in everything, what they're saying, what their body is saying. If you start to propose, like, solutions or something, and you see them look down or they look away from you, or, you know, their body kind of pulls back, look for all of these subtle hints that that person is like, okay, I'm not feeling like you're hearing me. I'm not feeling like I'm being heard. Because, you know, it's like the solution. It's like, yeah, go ahead, give your solution. And when you're facing somebody who is wanting to give the solutions, let them know gently and lovingly that, you know what, that's not what I need to hear right now. I need you to really know what it is I'm saying. And make sure that you express that. If you cannot get that from that person, if they're too emotionally attached, or if, you know, for whatever reason, go find somebody you can talk to that can give you that space. Because that's not being selfish, to want that space, to want to be able to express. You know, the best friends will allow you to just lose it, cry, whatever, and will not demand an explanation. Will just let you be in that space and say, you know what, and hold you and do whatever they can. And it's like, you okay? Do you want to talk? And if they say no, okay, well, I'm here. And you get them a glass of water and a towel to wipe their face off. And usually at that point, they'll start talking. So whether you're on the receiving end or the transmitting end, always look for the subtle communications. Meet them where they are. Set aside what you think should be and go with what is, and that's what is for them. And sometimes the best thing you can do is just let it be. Because sooner or later, if you're the person to help them with it, they will come to you and they will talk to you about it. Just be patient. Thank you for joining me on Healing House Radio. And we will be back next week, next Thursday, 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have any questions or wonder anything about me, you can go to my website, www.the-healing-house.com. You can send me an email. I love emails. And you could send one over to Healing House Radio, all one word, at the-healing-house.com. So you can also reach me on my office phone, which is 408-372-8840. So I hope that each and every one of you have a wonderful, truly blessed week. And I hope that your communications are all profitable for you and productive. And when you have those hard times, I know there's someone that you have to talk to. And reach out. You don't have to deal with stuff alone. And usually it's a good idea to involve somebody else. So make sure you're taking care of yourself in that way. So we'll see you next week. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Blessings.